In Central Africa, wildlife poaching has begun to look a lot like war. Isolated hunters armed with primitive weapons are being replaced by well-funded, highly organized groups of foreign poachers. These new poachers are heavily armed and extremely thorough. They can annihilate a precious group of animals in a matter of days. By some accounts, this is the new face of poaching. NPR's John Nielsen has this report on the rise of extreme poaching, as well as an ambitious plan to stop it.
Up until the end of the 1980s, the forests and savannas on the eastern side of the Central African Republic were full of wild animals. Then, in the 1990s, the poaching wars began. Huge and alarmingly well-organized gangs of poachers came west out of the Sudan, shooting almost everything that moved. Hides and meat were cut from the carcasses of lions, leopards, cheetah, hyena, buffalo, and elephant. This local tour guide told a film crew the carnage was horrible. Some elephants were blown apart by anti-tank guns. Whole families of elephants were massacred. Dave Bryant, an anti-poaching specialist affiliated with the government of the Central African Republic, says most of these poachers appear to be Sudanese soldiers or ex-Sudanese soldiers.
That means every single man has an AK-47, usually at least 300 rounds with him on his person. They have belt-fed machine guns. They have RPG-7 launchers, which they often use to shoot elephants with. They have masses of hand grenades, which they use to frighten animals, or they use fire grenades and they channel the animals into their guns. When the animals run at them, they just shoot them. It's bottom line of it, they're massacring the animals.
The meat they take is smoked and shipped to crowded African cities or to exotic restaurants in Asia and Europe. When the animals are all gone, the poachers move on and the local people are left to starve. In many parts of rural Africa, bushmeat is the only source of protein around. Dirt-poor governments with lots of other problems have been powerless to stop these paramilitary poaching gangs. So have angry locals, according to Dave Bryant.
The guys at the bottom, they fight them with bows and arrows, poisoned, or else they dip them in pork fat because they believe that because the poachers are Muslim, that this would actually kill them just if it scratches them. Obviously, they get slayed for doing this. Bows and arrows against automatic weapons don't work.
People who study bushmeat poaching say there are other gangs like this one working in other African countries. Kathy Austin, the director of the Arms and Conflict Program at the nonprofit Fund for Peace, saw gruesome evidence of that in a game park in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which was then called Zaire. She flew there in a small plane riddled with bullet holes made by poachers on the ground.
A whole rebel group had come into the park at night with automatic weapons and just sprayed bullets all up and down the river. And instead of shooting to kill what they could eat or easily sell on the market, they found it easier just to mow down entire herds of hippos, is what I had found. And they just left behind the carcasses to rot in the sun, or the young who had survived the bullets could no longer fend for themselves.
Austin has been tracking African poaching trends since 1987. When she started out, most poachers killed selectively, and commercial bushmeat hunting was virtually non-existent.
What I'm finding that's widespread throughout Africa now is you have a lot more guns, a lot more armies and rebel groups that are willing to cross borders of countries to exploit the resources of their neighboring countries. And that is spelling disaster across the continent for what used to be, for example, a localized and sustainable bushmeat trade.
Austin says underpaid armies in countries like Liberia often support themselves by hunting in this fashion. She says it's likely that over the years, profits from the sales of millions of tons of bushmeat have been used to fund illegal drug operations and some terrorist groups.
For example, there are extreme fundamentalists in Somalia who were involved in the trade to make a profit and sustain themselves, but they completely wiped out the wildlife in that area, and so there's nothing even left for them to exploit.
Conservation organizations have been sounding alarms about these poaching gangs for several years, but until recently, Western governments and financial institutions all but ignored them. That changed dramatically a few months ago when Secretary of State Colin Powell announced that the Bush administration had decided to put more than $50 million into a plan to preserve wildlife and habitat across Central Africa. Tens of millions more will come from American environmental groups, American logging companies, the European Union, and other nations. Denis Sassou Nguesso, president of the Republic of Congo, outlined the initiative at last summer's United Nations Earth Summit in South Africa.
La création de nouvelles aires protégées, la poursuite de l'effort des inventaires forestiers.
He talks about creating forest reserves, new national parks, and new reforestation programs. Things, he says, these governments have long wanted to do but could never afford. If all goes as planned, poaching will decline as bushmeat teams are tracked by observers, barred from logging roads, and confronted by well-trained, well-equipped park guards. Walter Kansteiner, Assistant Secretary for African Affairs at the U.S. State Department, says the need for changes like these could hardly be more urgent.
Illegal exploitation of natural resources, be it timber or mining or bushmeat, in fact can contribute to the destabilization of a region. Destabilization in terms of increased violence, increased capability of waging war. So all of these exploitation, illegal exploitation of natural resources can be problematic.
Proof of that can be found in the forests and savannas of the Central African Republic, where a decreasing number of villagers struggle to hang on to their traditions and to their lives. Dave Bryant, the anti-poaching expert working in the Central African Republic, says the gangs of poachers prey on these villagers.
They use the local people to smoke their bushmeat, and their way of doing that is they abduct the children from the families, hold the children hostage, and make the locals do the work. If the locals don't do the work, they don't get their kids back. That simple.
Bryant recently met with the leaders of these gangs. He's now certain they will not give up without a fight.
We had a discussion about the problem. I told them that we intended to limit their activities and requested that they actually left of their own free will. Their attitude was, it's their area, they've been working in there ever since a year, Doc, they'll do what they want to do, and that they would take great pleasure in killing me.
For the record, Dave Bryant is not this man's real name. It's a pseudonym he started using in interviews after receiving numerous death threats. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.
For more information on poaching in Central Africa, visit our webpage at npr.org.